Hi there, I'm Faye Kakai. Welcome. The Life with Faye Kakai podcast is an audio journal about the ups and downs of life's experiences. Welcome to my personal space, where we chat about faith, family, business, and everything else in between. Lessons, inspirations, hard truths, we'll cover it all. So get comfortable. This is Life with Faye Kakai. Hi, and welcome to the very first episode of Life with Faye Kakai. I'm really excited and also really nervous about this entire project and what I'm doing because it's very personal. As you heard in the intro, I'm thinking of it as an audio journal. And I thought, what not better place to start than my faith journey? My faith, my belief in God is the center of everything I do. And it's been quite a journey. It's had its highs, it's had its lows, but there's a lot on my heart that I feel I can share. I'm going to try and keep this one pretty simple and just tell you about the journey, but before I get into that, thank you so much for just pressing play and listening and for sharing and subscribing. Do subscribe if you haven't. Okay, so my faith journey. I got saved in O-level. I mean, I was probably saved before that, maybe during Sunday school, an altar call at church or something like that, but I don't really remember. And so I got, quote unquote, really saved in O-level. I went to Kaboja Secondary School. Shout out to all my Bodges people. And I was very quiet and laid back. I'm still a quiet person, but I was a lot more reserved when I was in O-level at Kaboja Secondary School. And I remember getting really into church. I found my place in the Sunday activities, the Christian activities. I used to enjoy doing that. I used to stay away from most of the popular things. Kaboja had a lot of variety, which is one of the things I love about the school. It was mixed personalities. We had different forms of entertainment. But I used to stay away from the popular activities, and I used to spend most of my time studying and in the church, like getting involved, and I don't know, like just really like being a part of that community was a big part of my identity then. And so that was great. Went to O-level, went to A-level, a different school, Gayaza High School. Again, shout out to all my Giza girls. I felt that when I look back in A-level, I wasn't as passionate, should I say. It was a whole different environment for me. I think I struggled a bit with my identity in the school because I always say I felt like everyone was pretty much the same. And I no longer had this like unique community that I was a part of, if that makes sense. Everyone went to chapel. It was compulsory. I don't know. It just was different. And I guess I was just trying to adjust to the school. It was a huge adjustment. Gayaza being a much more traditional all-girls school and coming from more of like a free mixed school that kind of had a reputation for just having all kinds of personalities, all kinds of entertainment, all kinds of activities, extracurricular and things like that. So it was a big adjustment. Gayaza, for those that don't know, like it's just a much more stricter traditional school. So I was there for just 2 years. They kind of went by quickly but slowly. I don't remember enjoying them too much, apart from the fact that I made some really solid friendships from Gayaza. My best friends today, you know, were people that I became friends with in Gayaza. So apart from that, I just remember it being pretty dull, I guess, in comparison to Kaboja. So I was still, you know, Christian, of course, and I went to chapel, but I just don't remember having much passion for the faith or anything really. So those years ended, and then it got exciting because I went to university abroad. So for the first time, I was living alone. I was in Malaysia for 3 years. And also just to note, I came also from a very strict household. My mom is just known for, she was very strict till this day, but I think even more then. And so my childhood was very sheltered. I never used to leave the house, you know, for no should I say, serious reason, very sheltered, very protected. And so now for the first time, I was living alone and I was away from home and just meeting new people and trying to adjust to that and enjoy that experience. And I don't know, they kind of just floated through. I remember not being as zealous as I was in O-level. When I say zealous, I mean like in O-level, I never used to listen to any worldly music. You know, I was just really into gospel music. I was really into like the activities around church. And that started to fade away, especially when I went to university. And I mean, I went when I was 19 years old until about, 3 years and a few months. So around 23 or 22, around there. And I was just trying to figure out myself. I became less zealous, more open to just experiencing, quote-unquote, life. Came back and continued through my 20s. So I started working. And when I look back on my 20s, I'm in my early 30s now. So when I look back on my 20s, I just think of them as very easy years. You know, things were going the way they were supposed to. I went to university, graduated, came back, started working. I was in an industry that was exciting and I'm creative and I enjoyed it in advertising. And when I look back, I just think of those years as easy. They were so easy. I was just floating through. I wasn't very intentional about anything really. And when things are easy, many times we lose sight of God. That's really my reflection. You take for granted what His will is. So I think of that time as just floating through. Still Christian. I still used to go to church. But it was, I guess there were highs and lows even in that time. The times when I drew closer to God. And then there are times I would really just be in the world, you know. Looking back, I'm like, I was just in the world. I was just doing worldly things. I was going with the flow. And I wasn't aware of how much I needed God. I did a lot of life without Him. You know, sometimes we tend to compartmentalize Him. On the outside, it looks like He's a big part of our lives because we are in the church system and we go to church on Sunday, but you know, we make decisions without Him. And I look back, I made a lot of decisions without Him. We get into situations without Him, whether it's even our work, our jobs, our relationships. You know, we think we can figure it out, like we know what to do. And so there was a lot of that. So towards my late 20s, I joined a new church community. And I remember just being a bit more involved. I think by that time I had fallen a few times. I had my heart broken a few times. And I was starting to realize how much I needed God. Like I didn't want to do things my way because my way was not yielding much. I wanted to do things His way. So I started getting more involved with church, which was great for a while. But then Now that I know what I know now, I know that I wasn't truly seeking. It's not enough to just go to church. It's not enough to just go and worship and pray and listen to a great sermon on Sunday. God really wants us to seek Him and He wants us to transform and completely stay away from sin. And sin is anything that goes against His word or goes against what He requires of us. And it's all laid out in the Bible, but you know, you wouldn't know that unless you honestly read the Bible and seek His will and meditate on His word, which I wasn't doing. I struggled reading the Bible. I tried to read the Bible. I'd have devotionals here and there that I would follow, but I hadn't really been put in that place where I hungered, which came much later. So yeah, that's it. That's the journey. So I remember in my late 20s really going through a lot of heartbreak and disappointment and confusion and just again realizing how much I needed God. That confusion began to like just intensify. It was already there, but you know, you get to your late 20s and you have all these like sort of visions or what do you imagine your life would be like? And then you start to see how it's not as straightforward. The movies lied to you, you know. And at some point, I was so far away from God and I didn't even realize it. But God was patient with me. So I moved to Greece for a year and then moved to France for 6 months. And as I was trying to find myself, as I was, again, just in the wake of just realizing how much I needed him and how far away from him I had drifted, somewhere in the south of France, he really found me. And when I say he found me, I mean so much came to light. I was able to look back and really see the mistakes I'd made and how those things had driven me to places that I never really thought I would be in terms of my spirituality, you know, in terms of my faith, which is evidenced through my decisions and my actions. And so he began to teach me what it means to truly seek him and love him and to obey him. You know, John 14:15 says, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. So I remember always saying, I love God, I love Jesus, you know, but how do we demonstrate our love for him? It's through obeying him. And this is a part that many times as Christians, we don't really internalize or meditate on. To obey him means to obey everything that's in his word. And he's still teaching me how to do that because it's not easy. You know, the Bible says that you can't be in the world and also of God. We're supposed to be in the world, but not of it. And sometimes obeying him goes against what is quote unquote normal in the world. And it also goes against the flesh, you know, your fleshly desires. There's a temptation to think that, you know, when you find God and like, when he starts to change things in your life and you start to see transformation, that everything is going to be okay and everything is going to be easy. Sometimes church also leads us to believe that. It's like, you know, give your life to Christ and he'll forgive you of all the wrong things that you've done and everything, you know, will be easy. But it's not, you know, life is definitely not easy. And God also promised that it wouldn't be easy. You know, he said in John 16:33, in this world you will. You're not that you might, but in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And from that time, around the time I was away, I had just come out of a whole bunch of things in my personal life. I was pursuing my master's. I didn't really know what the future held, but he found me. When I say he found me, I mean he answered prayers that I had stopped praying. You know, like he really showed me how much he loved me. And I began to really grow in knowledge and understanding and wisdom. I started to learn what it means to actually read your Bible and meditate on the word. I started to really seek him out, you know. Mind you, this is during the time of COVID and the lockdowns, and I'm no longer going to church. I'm no longer plugged into a church system. And then I really began to realize it's not about going to church. God really wants us to depend on him and on his word. Church is great, but we cannot rely on church for our spiritual growth. And this is something that I had heard, but had never really, really understood. I can tell you in the last year, I've read my Bible a lot more than I did when I was going to church. And I started really allowing the Holy Spirit to teach me, to show me the areas of my life where I had been so far away from him, to show me the areas of my life where I needed to repent and just humble myself before him and give him free reign, you know, over my life. So that's what really began to happen. And there's a closeness. It's just, I can't explain it, but I know that we all need it. You know, the world and the things of this world cannot satisfy. You can achieve everything. You can achieve every success in your career, in your relationships. But if you don't give God his rightful place, it's just never enough. And you can have nothing, or it can appear like you have nothing. But when you are in right standing with him, which is to have turned away from sin, to have repented, and to be living according to His word, there's a peace that he gives. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. So I began to really understand what it means to delight in him. I still have desires. There's still things that I would love to accomplish or to have. But God is constantly reminding me that I should seek him first and he will take care of me. He has it all figured out. He has a great plan for me. God has a plan for all of us, but then, and this is something I was just meditating on today, The Bible also says that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord, right? But what does it mean to be righteous? To be righteous means to be in right standing with God, meaning you are living a repentant life. It doesn't mean that you don't fall short. The Bible also says a righteous man falls 7 times, yeah, but he gets back up. But it means that we are aware of what God requires of us. We repent when we sin. And so we are in right standing with him. And when we are in right standing with him, our steps are ordered of him. However, when we are not in right standing of him, he's not the one ordering our steps, because God is a gentleman. He doesn't force himself on you. So many times God has this perfect plan for our lives, but we so many times go astray. And I know that that's what has happened in my life. I've seen it. Even when I look back on O-level and I look at how things used to move and work, God was directing my steps. You know, I can see that. I see the blessings. I see the miracles. I remember them, and I see them, what happened in that time. And then I look back at times where I just wasn't even like aware, you know, I was just floating through. The days would just go by, and I'm not seeking God. I'm not living a repentant life. And I see how like certain blessings end up being delayed, you know. Well, what's so amazing about God is he's a restorer. He wants us to come back to him. And when we come back to him, he steers us back on that path that he already planned for us. But we have to be in him. We have to draw close to him such that he can draw close to us. So I'm more spiritually aware now than I've ever been. I'm not chasing after things of this world, which don't satisfy. Like I said, God has proven that only he can satisfy, and that he knows the plans that he has for me. So again, looking back at the journey, it's been one of living in a lot of like darkness. And by darkness, what I mean is ignorance. Loving God or wanting to love God, but not really knowing what that means. And I think the biggest mistake for me earlier on in my faith was just not spending enough time in his word. As a Christian, like, God speaks to us through his word. That's like the number one way he speaks to us. He can speak to us in other ways as well, but it's through his word. And we shouldn't just read it on Sunday or read it in a devotional, but really seek him as we read it and meditate on it and read it consistently, because that's when we really actually understand what God requires of us, and we can have our steps ordered of him and be in right standing of him. So my journey started off kind of well, then lost the plot along the way, floating through life, just going with the flow, you know, still just trying to be a good person, as if that's enough. It's not just enough to be a good person. I just learned that God has to be in control. He has to be the one who literally makes my decisions. So for a while I was in darkness, so I was in ignorance. So I thought I was doing everything the way God required, but then I found out through his grace, he just revealed to me that he needs more. And so that's where I am now. I'm really just glad that it happened when it happened. I mean, that revelation, because I really believe I was on a wrong path. I could have made some really bad decisions, or decisions that were just going to just steer me farther away from his will and purpose for my life. So now I'm back in Uganda and really just allowing God to lead me and to guide me in every single area. So I'll just conclude with a few testimonies. To him, all the glory is due. Even just me being able to come on here and share, I really felt the Holy Spirit just put it on my heart to share my testimony. I don't know why. Sometimes when we say testimony, we think of some really big, grand, I don't know, story. I can see the grandness in what may seem like the simple things. So I thought I'll just sort of end this story journey with a few testimonies. This is just showing how like God's hand has been there even when I was in darkness, even when I didn't have as much knowledge, he was there. So just looking back again, I talked about that time in Greece, that year and a half, 1 year in Greece and 6 months in France, where I felt like I really went through a process which ultimately led to me drawing closer to him. But in that time, I saw his hand in my life. I saw how he led me, how he provided for me. I went to Greece just out of conviction, really. I saw this program that I was really drawn to. The content of the program just matched my passions and my skills and things I wanted to learn. But I had to raise the money to go, and there was an opportunity for a scholarship, but I didn't know if I'd get the scholarship because it was based on academic performance and it was only going to be given to 3 students in the entire program. Then I get to Greece and I find out that they've cut the number of scholarships to just 1 student. And this is 1 student in a program that's a master's program that's divided into sort of 3 different pathways. And out of the 3, they were only going to give a scholarship to 1 person. So even people that I was not studying with, were, you know, doing the same classes with, were competing for the same scholarship. God, in his grace and in his wondrous ways, allowed me to top the class. And I say this because I really do know it was a miracle. I was going through a lot, like I told you. I was adjusting to just being in Greece and being away and not knowing anyone in this city of Thessaloniki where I was, dealing with racism, all sorts of things. Like, there was just a lot that was happening at that time. And the fact that I topped my class then really was just a miracle from God. So I topped the class and got the scholarship. I moved back, you know, when all this was done, and I quickly found work. This is in a time of COVID, you know, people are being laid off from their jobs. A lot of people, a lot of talented people, you know, that I know, trying to find work or just not having work, being in that situation. And I was able to find something to do that I enjoyed doing quickly after I moved back, within the first 3 months of moving back. Business, content projects. God is always giving me ideas. He's always putting things in my heart of things to do, including this podcast, sending, you know, business leads. I have a digital marketing company called Leap in Digital. And so even just being able to sort of like find my footing after being away for 1.5 years and like just sending leads to me, that's all God. Deep, solid friendships. I have friendships that I've had for years. People that I've been away from, you know, with this whole, you know, with this traveling lifestyle that I've been having. So studying abroad, and even when I was in Uganda before I went to Greece, just constantly being away, and through Huchenda, which is my travel blog, just being in and out. But God has still blessed me with some really deep, solid friendships, some old ones, some new ones, a roof over my head, family that loves me and cares about me. I've really seen that he doesn't withhold any good thing from me. And I've really seen him divinely aligning my path with the right people at the right time. I saw this happening while I was abroad in a major way, but that's a testimony for another day. But I really just saw God like aligning my path with the people that I was supposed to be aligned with at that particular time. So maybe one day I'll share that testimony, but all I can say right now is it really was the hand of God. So he's really taught me, he's encouraged me, he's spoken to me through his word, he's spoken to me through dreams, through prophecy. You know, I've had people come and tell me things about my life, and then I've started to see them unfold, and then I realized that God needed me to know that thing so that I did not lose my faith as well. So in his wisdom, he'll speak to you and he'll share with you just as much as you need. I've really just felt like he, you know how they say, there's that song of his goodness is running after me. I've seen him do that. And it's really just his grace that I've seen. So yeah, again, that doesn't mean I haven't had challenges. I've had some real challenges, even in the midst of these testimonies that I'm sharing. But I've also learned that through those challenges, he's been strengthening me, he's been molding me, he's been preparing me for what is coming next. I had to deal with and face some of the mistakes that I've made when I was just floating through life and not being really intentional about giving him full rein. I've had to just turn away from past habits. I've even had to shut out people, you know, that were not adding or that were just not on the path that I was on. So I've really seen him like pruning me in that way. There's been real pain and real challenge, but there's also been real beauty. And in that, and in it all, I've known that I'm not alone. You know, he says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And that really has been true. I never feel like I'm fighting alone. There's something about knowing that I can cast all my cares upon him, that I don't know the future, but I know the one who knows the future, and just finding complete and total rest in that. I read somewhere on Instagram that it's one thing to believe in God and it's another to believe God. And so he's really just shown me what that means in terms of trusting him. Faith really comes down to that at the end of the day. It's really trusting him, not trusting what we see or trusting the circumstance or the situation or the different reports that we hear, but trusting his report and trusting his word. So if you made it to the end, my prayer is that you'll not only believe in him, but you'll believe him, you'll hunger for him, you'll start to really seek him and give him full rein. Because trust me, even if you're the most wise, most intelligent person, the plans you have for yourself cannot match up to the plans that God has for you. This life is not easy. It really isn't. But God is there. He promises to be there with us. And if we can obey him, you know, if we can live according to his will, you know, if we can know that we were created by him and for him, it's not about us. It's about him. He really can start to transform your life. Yeah, so I really pray that you'll trust his word, you'll trust what it says about you, you'll trust what it promises you, and you'll trust his way. I know that I can't do life on my own. I've tried that out before. It didn't work out well. And I need him. So I'll stop here today. I hope I'll be back soon to share more on faith. I'm also hoping to talk a bit about business as well on this podcast, about family. And by family is a wide umbrella, but I'm going to leave it wide for now. But there's a lot in there. There's love, there's relationships, growth. And yeah, maybe as the Spirit leads, I will share more on that. But thank you so much for listening, and God bless you.
If you enjoyed this content, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and share it with someone else. Find Life with Fakakai on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you listen to podcasts.